Rich Lowry is the editor of the National Review. He's a big star on the Sunday morning shows, and he's great here every Monday morning. Our friend Rich. Rich, good morning, pal. How are you?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, fellas. Good. How are you?
Great. So answer this for us. Bernie and I have worked very, very hard to find the statistics that prove that there is, in fact, systematic racism inside our police forces around this country. And what we noticed is there are millions of interactions, millions, between cops and black people, and millions don't die. So can you provide us with some statistics that make sense of why they're setting the world on fire?
I can't. It's not in the statistics. You know, you do have some of these individual cases where you have bad cops, and this appears to have been a really
bad
act.
Let me stop you right there. Do bad cops kill white people, too? The answer is yes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't get the kind of attention. But I'm open to the idea it happens more to black people. But I think it's the sense of that is anecdotal. But you know, this was a bad way to subdue George Floyd. You're supposed to stay off the neck. Now the cop's going to have a defense, right? He's going to say he didn't die of asphyxiation, and he had other underlying health issues, and it'll be in that respect they're going to try to make it like the Eric Garner case. Guys, what I think you don't get around, though, or I just don't understand, is you take his pulse, there's no pulse, and you keep doing it. And I was talking to a real smart cop yesterday, writes a lot about this stuff, thinks everyone has the story about the hold wrong, you know, that he had his weight distributed on both knees, you know, it wasn't just one knee bearing down his neck. But he said, even so, eventually you need to realize the guy's in trouble and go into life-saving mode, and they didn't.
I don't think, Rich Lowry, anybody would disagree with that. I mean, in fact, before the riots, and still now, everybody was, you know, in agreement. It was universal. Everybody was horrified by what they saw, especially, you know, when you knew the facts that almost 3 minutes after the guy was non-responsive, the cop still kept his knee on the dude's neck. It was just horrendous. But now these riots, which have been really, it's like Charlottesville. Remember Charlottesville? Of course, you had the one side was they were the anti-statue people, and the other side, the Confederate statue people, the other side were the pro-Confederate statue people. They both got hijacked, one side by the Nazis, the pro-Confederate statue people, and the anti-Confederate statue people got hijacked by Antifa. That's what you're getting here, the peaceful protesters. If I'm not mistaken, Rich Lowry, I believe you tweeted about this. Antifa, they were cocked and ready for a tragedy like this, and they took advantage of it, and it's been successful for them.
Yeah, I think that's an element of it. Now, it wouldn't shock me, you know, St. Patrick's Cathedral, wouldn't shock me if that was a white Antifa guy
right.
who did it.
Because
you've had video, there's some graffiti, I don't know where it's from, these snippets all run together, but two white girls dressed in black, the way Antifa did, were tagging a Starbucks, and this black protester comes like, what are you doing? And we've seen a lot of that. There was a really stark example yesterday in Washington, D.C., where clearly was an Antifa guy, had a hammer, he was going on the sidewalk to try to get bricks up. And these black guys, a couple white guys too, but mostly black guys, they tackle him. They bull rush him over to the cops and say, take this guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, you look at, you know, a lot of the police cars burning and the looting, and it's clearly, that's not all Antifa. There are a lot of local residents
yes.
doing that. And the other thing about looting, you know, you never really see an angry looter. Everyone's happy looting. You know, it's a carnival.
That's true. They're like smiling. They got their headphones in their ears. They're running, almost galloping and skipping. And they do look kind of happy. You're right about that.
It's like a block party.
Yeah.
You know, disorder is exhilarating to a lot of people is the underlying truth. But anyway, it just has to stop. It will stop if you apply enough overwhelming but lawful but overwhelming force. And we see the difference it makes in Minneapolis, where Saturday night was pretty peaceful. When I went to bed last night, at least, last night was pretty peaceful. And it's because there's overwhelming police presence.
Yep.
So you just have to chase these people down, arrest them, tear gas them, make it no longer any fun, and then eventually moms get bored and go home. And then we can have a debate about, you know, there are aspects of police reform I'm open to. I mean, certainly it's true that there's been a fraught relationship, to put it mildly, between the police and the African-American community. So there's a reason that they're extra sensitive about it. And anecdotally, you know, you talk to a lot of black folks, they'll tell you, you know, that they've had bad interactions with the cops.
Well, so, but when are we going to have an adult conversation about this? Per capita, there's more crime committed in the black community than any other community in the country. Per capita. So can't you understand why cops every now and then may be a bit paranoid, may be quick to quote-unquote pull the trigger? I mean, let's be honest about this already. I'm sick of it.
There are more exchanges.
Yeah, there's more exchanges.
So statistically, you're going to have more negative
exchanges
as well.
There's more crime inside that. When is somebody going to stand up and say, listen, what happened to Mr. Floyd is a tragedy. God rest his soul, that's terrible. But like Charles Barkley says, at some point, we have to also start cleaning up our community so some of these things don't happen. Why don't we ever have that discussion?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You do?
But both can be true. I think that's right. But you know, you're a black person. You look at that, and you say that could be my son in a way that maybe that we don't. So I think that's a real phenomenon too. But yeah, the idea that we live under a systematic racist police state is a complete lie. A lot of these cases, not all of them, but you know, the snippets of video, they're more ambiguous when you look into it, or they're a lie when you look into it. Famously, Ferguson was a complete lie. But then sometimes it's really bad. And, you know, it wasn't the police action, the Arbery thing. But if there hadn't been a video of that, those guys probably would have walked free. And that's another element of that, you know, that's bad. So let's have the police do the best job they can. But let's maintain perspective, you guys are saying, and let's crush all disorder.
Yes, indeed. And of course, again, going back to these Antifa people who are really, they're more well-organized and a little more Machiavellian and smarter than we give them credit for, I believe, because they look like a bunch of grungy morons. But first of all, even the label itself, Antifa, is propaganda, anti-fascist. I mean, they're the epitome of fascists. They're like the Nazi brown shirts of the 30s. It would be like, instead of calling themselves Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda call themselves bunnies for babies or something, you know? I mean, it just is. So these people are very, very dangerous and insidious, and Trump said he's going to label them a domestic terror organization. What are your thoughts on all that, Rich?
It's certainly true. They have a fascist affect, dressed all in black and glorifying violence, a key aspect of fascism. And you know, I've been saying, my magazine's been saying for years, everyone should denounce these people, and maybe there's a small silver lining to what happening now that everyone is. You know, on CNN, I was watching Chris Cuomo last night, and he was obsessed with Antifa, and every time there was a white person clashing with the cops, he's like, this could be, you know, an outside element.
I think
the outside element stuff has been exaggerated, though. You know, the Minnesota governor suggesting, all outsiders came in here and were destroying our city, and the arrest records show it, and he was completely wrong. Chris Cuomo was talking last night about 1 out of 7 of the arrests in New York City being people don't live in New York City. I'm not sure how much that tells you. You know, that means 6 out of 7 are New Yorkers.
But Dermot Chase says 20%.
People recently moved or from New Jersey or a tri-state area.
Yeah, no, you're right. Dermot Chase says 20%. Cuomo says 14%. So it's all in that area. You know, I got this. I put this poll up on Twitter, Rich, on Saturday. And getting back to the racism aspect of all of this, not police brutality, not Antifa, but the racism aspect. Here was the poll. Racism isn't getting worse. It's getting filmed. Any truth to that? And thousands of people voted on my Twitter page, and 66% agreed that racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. What do you think about that?
I think that's right. But again, this incident with Floyd, say there had been no video. We lived in an era before instant video.
Right.
The cops would have just lied, and they would have been believed, you know? So I do think the more video is good. I give credit to reformers who said we need cops with more body cameras. I think that makes sense. But the way I put it is I think racism is less prevalent than it's ever been before in our society. And that's not necessarily saying a lot, because we had really, really bad times, obviously. But race relations are worse. At least our view of race relations are worse, in part because of this microscopic focus on things now. And, you know, like Ferguson was a national crisis. when it was built on a lie, one, and two, it was an event that if it happened 30 years ago, it would have been on page A16 in a little box.
That's right.
You know, because like a gas station got burned down in a real small city. You know,
right.
1968, entire city cores burned to the ground. So this was a nothing event, but with cable TV and social media and the microscopic focus, it was made into this enormous thing. When it just had a weight on it that it couldn't bear.
No, that is true. Rich Lowry, just in the remaining minutes we have left, or I should say seconds, actually, social distancing, that scourge of social distancing sort of got lost in all this. And you wrote a column called The Return of the Tea Party, and it all ties into the pandemic and, I guess, social distancing as well.
Yeah, well, this shows, you know, Sid's been agitating to just be able to go outside and do what you want. And for 3 months straight, if you said that, you're an enemy of the people who wanted everyone to die. You know, if you're walking outside with your wife holding hands, CNN would do a 20-minute rant about how terrible mm-hmm. you were. And now we have hundreds and perhaps thousands of people gathering in enormous crowds. There's not a peep.
To the contrary, they're cheering them on.
Why? They want more.
Yeah.
They're actually telling more and more people, they're encouraging everybody to go out there and stand up for the cause.
So, so there's two silver linings to this thing.
Yeah, the upshot is, if you go to the grocery store, you got to stand, can't get close to anyone. You can't go to the gym or go to church, but you can gather in huge crowds and burn police cars.
Right,
<That's okay>.
Right.
Bottom line.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's America.
That's brilliant, Rich.
Rich, thank you. You were great as always. Great job. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys.